Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to this session. I don't know about you, but I am still feeling so great about Ken Robinson's keynote this morning. That was a fantastic way to kick this off. And we're happy that you're here in the room for the next session. I'd also like to welcome the online audience, which is currently in 400 different locations across the United States and internationally. So thank you very much for being here. We are live streaming and recording this session. Before we start, I just have a couple of reminders. Please silence all cell phones and electronic devices if you don't mind. We are going to have question and answer periods throughout the presentation and at the end. If you do have a question and you are in the on-site audience, I would ask you to go to one of the standing mics in the room. There's one up here in the middle of the front section and one in the back so that the online audience can hear your question. If you're online, feel free to ask questions in the chat box. I'll be moderating that, and I will try to make sure that your questions are involved as well. And last but not least, I'd like to encourage everyone to please complete the session evaluations online while you're on site, while your memory's still fresh, or even after the conference, as those links will still be available. And now I'm going to turn it over to Lev. He's going to introduce your speakers, and you're going to be off and running for a fantastic learning experience.
Thanks so much, Shelley. Welcome, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for joining us. I'm Lev Gonick, the executive director of One Community, a spinoff of Case Western Reserve University. With us today are my colleague, Mark Henderson from Case Western University, and Laura Patterson from the University of Michigan. A couple years ago, in the year 1532, Nicholas Machiavelli wrote that there is nothing more difficult to take in hand, more perilous to conduct, or more uncertain in its success than to take the lead of the introduction of a new order of things. Let's count the ways and the challenges facing us. The rollback of public investment in higher education, pressure for access to post-secondary education, the impact of globalization on our college campuses and post-secondary education, not to mention small little phenom like MOOCs, all contributing to significant uncertainty and about our thinking about the future of universities. Couple those activities with the commodification of technology, once many of them thought to be core to our service catalog, and the dilemma is at once very clear and confounding. As technology leaders in higher education, it's really been our job for the last decade to figure out how to navigate those twin realities. And it's our view that the time has come to consider discontinuous organizational change to attend to these challenges. Tinkering and tweaking of our organizations comes as an incremental approach to our organizational future and to our contribution to the mission of our institutions. Federated models are obviously de rigueur, but in our view, probably inadequate and unlikely to really serve the future of our institutions as we navigate that future together. Indeed, if we're very honest with each other, and of course, this is the family here. Our IT organizations are products of a legacy environment that has, to varying degrees, become calcified and non-responsive to the needs of our universities going forward. Resistance to the secularization and the commodification of IT is, I argue, futile. Collective and cooperative action in the form of shared service models is obviously one pathway forward that is well-worn and will necessarily lead us to have to re-architect our campus organizations. But today on our panel, we're going to explore together more fundamental reexaminations of our organizations and our immediate futures. Multiple IT organizations across the campus, and we have two outstanding examples today, are taking on this activity to rethink our inherited functional organizations and to try to both imagine and then chart the path forward to the reinvigoration and to the reinvention of their IT programs. I look forward to your feedback and to your insights during our Q&A session. We're going to begin with insights and reflections from Mark Henderson at Case Western Reserve, and then follow up with Laura Patterson from Michigan, and then we'll hopefully, in fact, we've structured time for Q&A. So with that, Mark, please.
Thank you very much, Lev. I'd like to say good morning to everyone. I'm honored to come before you this morning to share with you the perspectives and activities that are going on at Case Western Reserve University. This is a snapshot of Case Western Reserve, 4,000 undergraduate students, 5,000 graduate professional, 9,600 students. Gives you a notion of the field in which we're playing. And the way and what I'm sharing with you is how we're viewing these changes and transformation at Case Western Reserve University. You know, we are looking at the fact and really embracing the fact that our world has fundamentally changed. I mean, with cloud services, you know, at our university, most of our students come with at least three, most more like five separate devices. And so they have very high expectations of IT at the university. We have significant challenges, many of the things that Lev talked about. But our vision really is to use technology as a disruptive force for change and to free our IT resources, quite frankly, to focus on the core mission of the university and to support our research mission going forward. What we want to wind up doing is really managing a portfolio of services. So what I'll do is share with you how we are going about it. At Case, we believe the traditional IT, the traditional approaches to delivering IT, you know, quite frankly, they're dead or they are dying. You know, we are no longer spending any of our time attending to blinking lights. We are looking at ways that we can take our very bright people and move them significantly further up the value chain. Don't get me wrong, when a server is down, it's very important to get it up, but you know, really that's not our core competency or the kinds of things that we're attempting to bring about at the university and bring about in terms of central IT. So we see it, we see traditional approaches as dead. But however, I would suggest that long live IT. And these are very heady times where we can bring about change and transformation at the university, but we have to begin by transforming ourselves. And so really at Case, instead of really focusing on the traditional IT delivery, we're focusing more on delivering solutions and services to the university with the emphasis on innovation so that we wind up giving our university a competitive advantage for faculty, for students, and for research grants. You know, as we see ourselves really morphing. So we become really not the keepers of the technological keys to the kingdom, but really solutions and solutions providers and consultants. We want to educate the university around the art of the possible and leveraging technology to forward the university's mission and vision. So we're trying to move our organization from a focus on various technologies really to a focus on engagement, a focus on being consultative. And these, although not complete, these are the things that we think we have to spend our time focusing on in order to bring significant value to the university. Now, getting there, where we're spending a lot of our time is developing our IT leaders and our IT organization as a whole. And so again, not an exhaustive list, but where we are spending time developing our people is around the notion of innovation, the notion of orchestration, transformation, disruption. You know, we want to look at delivering technology solutions. We have to have leaders who are very comfortable in leading in an area where there is, lack of structure. We have to understand the business of the university, so we cannot just be focused on being IT practitioners. And so my colleagues who are here and I are working very hard on driving this across the entirety of the organization. And how do we see ourselves making it happen? Last year, Lev and I gave a presentation on, where IT was going at CASE. And we, from an organizational standpoint, we organized ourselves away from the traditional model because the mandate that I had was to create capacity for innovation at the university. So we organized ourselves around design, build, and run with processes that were overarching and undergirded that orientation. We have learned a lot in the last 2 years from that journey, and what we're going to do is we're still oriented around design, build, run, but what our orientation is around delivering services, service management, service improvement, again, overseen by our focus on process. So we've invested in Lean Six Sigma capabilities in the organization. We have a very structured program management, and then those are undergirded by our digital technology solutions and services organization, and this whole new area that we're focusing on around customer advocacy and technology adoption. Because what we've found is though we want to be innovative and we want to deliver these services, it really doesn't help if people aren't using them. So we're putting a lot of focus on, what are the services we have out there? What are the adoption rates? What are the barriers to adoption, and how do we improve that? Our strategy is today we are largely on-campus IT focused, although we have had a lot of success in strategic sourcing. So our help desk is sourced, and in fact our partner just won a prestigious award for being the most productive help desk as determined by the Help Desk Institute, and that was done largely with us. What we're looking to do is to move from this on-campus heavily operations-centric approach to really becoming managers of a portfolio of services. And the benefit to the organization is it frees IT resources really to focus on our faculty, staff, and students. It allows us to move further up the value chain, and it allows us to align our resources to the needs of the university. Are we where we want to be right now? No, but we see light, quite frankly, at the end of the tunnel through this approach. Today, we still, even though we are design, build, run, we're still very heavily oriented in the operations space. But as we move things to strategic sourcing and to services above the cloud, we see that changing. And so our strategy really to get there is that the university has needs, and we have a governance process for IT efforts and activities that engages the university to define what those needs are. And so what ITS becomes at CASE really is a service provisioner, and we provision those services through in time leveraging those services as core offerings from the vendor partners that we have. We are embarking as we speak on an initiative to move our PeopleSoft environment away from the university and to be managed by a vendor partner. We anticipate that to take about 12 to 18 months to fully implement, but we're moving forward, beginning with our student information system in terms of transition. Again, our eye is on trying to create further capacity for innovative approaches. So after we move to an X as a service orientation, we really see ourselves oriented more on our design functions. So that's kind of living and breathing with our customers and coming up with solutions and ideally pre-positioned technologies to address the ever-changing needs of the university environment. And so as you can see from this diagram, we're going to focus more and more on our vendor partners to be the ultimate providers of those services, freeing our people from the tyranny, quite frankly, of the urgent, again, so we can become more innovative and focus more on solutions to give the institution a competitive advantage. The journey doesn't stop there. Although we are committed to our design, build, run orientation, we will always look at how we ought to morph the organization in order to remain ahead of anticipated needs of the university community. And so over time, as the design organization becomes more prominent and we shrink really the total number of people that are required from an operational standpoint, we see ourselves really kind of aligning with the major divisions of the institution so that we have teams of people that kind of live and breathe with our medical center, with our academic schools, and with our professional schools, really understanding and helping to shape their strategic planning and being a part of that so that we can help to influence and champion the use of technologies to bring about transformation. The outcomes that we anticipate and benefits for the university really is this notion of a services delivery orientation. We want to make sure that the services that we're delivering are the right services to meet the university's needs. Today, you know, we can stand to do better. We really want to free our IT resources to focus on the university's core mission and vision. We have to gain greater alignment, and again, we have a governance process that helps to support that. We as an organization want to be agile. We want to deliver against the ever-changing needs of the university, and we believe that this orientation will allow for greater career opportunities from our team members. Because today, if someone is a server engineer, quite frankly, they're a server engineer for their whole career. We want to change that approach. We want to stretch people. We want to make them very productive and give them opportunities to ensure that we can retain our best and our brightest. We need, and this is a term that we are really pushing through the organization, we need the ability to do business at the speed of need. You know, there's an awful lot of I'll call it navel gazing, where we want perfect information to deliver perfect solutions. Well, we're trying to get away from that through having small project teams that are able to very quickly assess the need, deliver solutions, and quite frankly, after launch, tweak those if they don't completely meet the needs so that they are aligned with the ever-changing needs. And then we are going to move to an OPEX funding model so that really we're operationalizing support, and we are moving to a strategic sourcing initiative and initiatives so that we are really relying on our vendor partners for, you know, full technology support and delivery. We will always own the vision, the strategy, and we will always own the notion of service delivery. So we will be the face to the customers, and we will always own that going forward. Thank you.
My name is Laura Patterson. I'm the Chief Information Officer for the University of Michigan. And I will share with you, first of all, how I got here today. We are undertaking a pretty significant transformation of IT services at the university. And last year at EDUCAUSE, I stumbled across Mark and Lev and discovered that we were trying to do philosophically and strategically many of the same things. And so it started a conversation between our institutions that has continued over the past year. We arranged for a couple of video conference sessions, and we've had then some conference calls, and then once in a while, Mark and I just talk to each other to give each other moral support. And so it's one of the great benefits of EDUCAUSE is finding those people that are doing things that are similar to what you're doing so that you can help each other. And so that's really what brought me here today. So I'm going to share with you the story at Michigan. Similar in some ways to Case, but in other ways also very different from Case. Michigan is a large Research One institution. We have about 46,000 students. We have a academic medical center on the Ann Arbor campus, and we have 19 schools and colleges and 35 or so, depending on the day, research institutes. That's a significant fact. Back to the opening session this morning, The culture at Michigan is extremely decentralized. Over the past, up until about 4 years ago, Michigan did not have a CIO because the institution believed that the model just didn't work because it's so decentralized. And then about 4 years ago, some of the deans, and the deans are very powerful positions at the university, all of the university's revenue flows out to the schools and colleges, and the deans are expected to use that revenue to make their school or college or the programs in their school or college some of the best in the country. And so they are given high latitude or broad latitude for programmatic decisions, policy decisions, process decisions. And as a result, over the last 15 years, driven by the culture, the funding model, and the technology, the university's technology infrastructure have become extremely fractured, every tub on its own bottom. To give you an example, the wireless infrastructure was run by each school and college for the buildings of that school or college. And in many cases, only the faculty and students admitted to that school could get on the wireless network in that building. So as a student moved from unit to unit, they might not have access to a wireless infrastructure. And so 4 years ago, some of the deans approached the provost and said, the changes that are occurring in higher education are coming at us so fast, and we are not, as an institution, making the right investments to enable the university to continue to excel, particularly in research and teaching and learning. And the challenges are that we must address these issues at scale, and when they said at scale, they meant across the University of Michigan. We have to address these issues at scale because we cannot do it on our own. So we launched an initiative that we call Next Gen Michigan. And this is our strategy. This graphic has become recognized across campus, and it is called lovingly, or in some cases not so lovingly, the wedding cake, because it does sort of look like a wedding cake, and Next Gen Michigan is about the marriage or coming together of all IT providers at the university to move to a new service model, for IT. Our strategy started at the base of the cake by changing the way we were aligned, by naming a CIO, and by putting in place a university governance model for all IT across the university. We then moved into a project that we call IT rationalization. I really wish if I were launching it today, I would call it IT optimization, because really we are trying to optimize the IT investment and bring into a shared service model those things that are best done at scale across the university or beyond. And we are doing that by building a new infrastructure, a shared infrastructure, but we are not trying to centralize IT. We believe it is very important to leave IT in the schools and colleges working next to the faculty, so that the innovations that our faculty are coming up with can be built on this shared infrastructure, the same infrastructure that we are using to run our shared services. It will enable faster innovation at a lower cost, and our goal is that it will enable us to grab those innovations out of our faculty and move them to scale across the university as they are adopted. The words Next Gen Michigan are in the cloud, and they're in the cloud for two reasons. When we launched the project, we did not know what Next Gen Michigan was going to be. And so the cloud indicated it's something ahead of us, and we will define it. It is emergent, and we will define it as we proceed. It's also in the cloud because we made a commitment that we will leverage cloud offerings. Cloud first is our strategy. We started by doing an inventory on campus to build the case for change, and we simply did a count. We did not know all of the IT that was running all over campus, so we did a count and created, this is what we called a heat map. It shows infrastructure services, IT operation management services, collaboration services, administrative services, and mission services, and then it just does a count of all of the technologies and services that were running on campus. And what we found were things like 44 email services running on the Ann Arbor campus, 79 security services, 60 hosting services, 131 storage services, and 193 desktop support groups, 102 help desks. This data was put in front of the deans, and very little. One person down here just said, that's crazy. Every dean in the room said, that's crazy. Then we were able to put dollars behind this to demonstrate how much money was going to running commodity services that could be invested in the mission technologies, research technologies, teaching and learning innovations. And so our goal was to change the model. So we set out by identifying those things that we thought could come together as shared services, and we had a list of about 12 projects that we were going to undertake. And the things that we called commodity or common good, everyone will pay for, and this is to Mark's point about the funding model, everyone will pay for those services whether they use them or not. Secondly, they will be run by the shared service provider, which is my group, and we are accountable for costing that service and annually benchmarking it to the market. And if we can provide a higher level of service at less cost by outsourcing, then we will start, those are the things that we will start pushing out, hopefully leveraging cloud offerings. There will be a set of goods that are toll services. Those are things that units or faculty can choose to use, and they will be charged on a consumption basis. And then we envision unit-specific services that the IT people in the schools and colleges are providing, and those are the things that are unique to the discipline of that unit and that the faculty need in order to excel. So our vision is that we, just as Mark described, shrink the commodity services by moving things to the center and then moving them out, and we grow the mission-aligned services that are in direct support of the faculty and students. So our next-gen strategy is rationalize IT, invest in shared service, and deliver next-generation IT services that the schools, so that the schools and colleges want to use the shared service, because it is cheaper and it is a higher level of service than they currently have. That led us to a service strategy, which is focus on business value, align the delivery to the end user, manage services, not products and technology, and bundle the technology with service processes as we introduce services to campus, not just technology. So to give you an example, the first thing we did was to bring the 44 email services together into one, and we did move to Google, faculty, staff, and students in the Google platform for email, calendar, and as our collaboration platform. The next thing we undertook was a service that we call My Workspace. It is end-user computing, network, storage, security, and virtualized servers and database offerings bundled together in an offering to the units. We have, across central administration last year, created shared service and consolidated all of the end-user computing across the central administrative offices. And now this year, we are going with the schools and colleges, and the schools and colleges are moving their end-user computing support with all of these things underneath it into the shared service. So the shared service provider, it is important that we are not an order taker, but that we move up the axis to truly being a partner, and that the school college IT people in their mission unique roles are partnering with the shared service provider as the provider of the services at scale. Our goal is the more highly differentiated something is, the more it should move to the local IT person, the local IT provider, and the more commoditized it is, the more it should move out, and we should get it from the market. Our service delivery model is to move more to providing the shared service provider will provide services directly to faculty, staff, students, and to the IT providers in the schools and colleges. So we are changing the service delivery model. And we too have moved, just like Mark described, to a service management architecture. We are the shared service organization we have reorganized into a plan, build, run mode. That's our model, which I'll show you in a second. But this slide shows the service management architecture. We identified a set of very critical capabilities that the shared service provider must develop. We had to have these capabilities in order for this model to work. And so we have put in place a strategic plan. We have investment portfolio management and enterprise architecture. Those are the critical capabilities of our plan group. Our build group uses service portfolio management, and that is quarterly. We look at, we look at our service portfolios, just as Mark showed you his service portfolios. We have bundled our services into portfolios. There is a portfolio manager for each portfolio. And that person is responsible for looking at all the services in the portfolio to determine where we should be making investments in order to advance a service, and critically, which services are dropping in utilization, in adoption, and we start planning for end of life. One of the capabilities that we are trying to get much better at is ending a service because they are such a drain on us financially. We have a program management office, and we are very focused on consistent service implementation so that we have robust change management for campus. When we roll services out, they know what to expect for how the service will be delivered. In the run area, we have a focus on service operations and an integrated service desk. And we have started this year working with our schools and colleges that they too are using the same service desk management tool that we are using, so that when we are working together to support the needs of a faculty member, the unit IT and the shared service provider can track the tickets and see how that ticket is being resolved through this Michigan IT approach. One of the other things that I failed to mention is in this service model of public goods, toll goods, and unit specific goods, as I mentioned, our goal is grab the faculty innovations and move them down that stack. That is, if they're used by one school or college and other schools and colleges start to show an interest, we'll move it into a toll service. If a high number of our schools and colleges show an interest, we'll move it into the common good. And then as a service goes through the life cycle or a product and adoption starts to drop, we will move it out of the common good into a toll service so that only those schools that are using it pay for it? Because then that starts to provide an incentive for eventually perhaps moving that service to end of life. So moving it up and down the stack, we believe, is very critical to our ability to adopt new services and end services that are not being heavily utilized. So we went then from this service management architecture. Once we had established these capabilities, we have actually now moved to an organization structure of plan, build and deploy, run, and then in the academic technology space is where we're really focusing on those new innovations. All of this is supported by a management group that does our costing of services, and we'll be doing the benchmarking next year when we get to that. And all of these functions are also supported by a very small customer relationship management team, actually trying to put in place account management out to our schools and colleges so that we are constantly understanding their needs and working closely with them to stay ahead. So as Lev started this session, we at Michigan do believe, and when I say we, I mean the conversation of our deans and academic leadership, is that higher education as an industry is in a time of change. And we see this as a good thing. As challenging as it is an opportunity. And it is an opportunity that is IT enabled. We in this room and at this conference, as the IT leaders at our institutions, have the opportunity to change the model of IT so that we enable our institutions and our industry to emerge from this time of change even stronger and better than we are today.
Thanks very much, Laura.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Mark. We have done a really good job in terms of time management. And in just a moment, we're going to open the mics. Again, there's a mic on the floor here and one at the back. And for those of you who have been viewing us online, we encourage you to give Shelley your feedback so that she can also engage. I just want to start the questioning activity with a question about the people. And I'll ask Laura and Mark to comment on this. So both of you are focusing in a transition activities to position your campuses to engage in mission-related activity. And you're both engaged. Mark, you call it design. In your case, Laura, you're calling it plan. And there's clearly a different set of skill sets in those vertical or cloud-related human services than is in the traditional functional or organization. Can you just sort of talk a little bit about the experience, about how you've put the right kind of people into that design or that planning group? What are some of the skill sets? And by the way, were they just sitting on the bench and all you did is pluck them off, or did you have to go recruit? Let's start. Mark, why don't you start briefly, and then Laura. And that should be your clue, folks, to get into your line for your comments and question, because that was a softball question.
I would offer that the people is sometimes a challenge. I mean, one of the things I can say is that we've gone out and we've recruited people with new views and new ideas and new skills. And what's been interesting when we've recruited folks is they've come in unencumbered by the notion of having to do design, build, run as part of their entire job. They've come in primarily in the design group, and they've focused on delivering innovative solutions, and I think the university has benefited substantially from that. We just embarked on the creation of our online programs led by someone who we brought in who was versed in those kinds of things. We've created new learning environments led by a fellow we recruited from the University of Denver. But having said that, there are a lot of people who have been in the traditional organization who really have embraced the opportunity to be able to grow, to be able to learn new skills and develop new abilities. And we have worked on trying to create really a skills inventory of everybody in the organization so that we can see what our needs are currently and into the future, look at people who have those skills or more importantly, the desire to develop those skills and create kind of the gap analysis and develop training for those folks. We are trying to get to a point where we are freeing, as I mentioned, our folks from really the tyranny of the urgent and really have give them an opportunity to realize their full potential. Now, having said that, there is a notion of ownness that I think belongs to each individual to be open and willing to change, because no differently than the landscape has changed for us, our folks have to embrace the fact that they have to take on the notion of change and orient themselves towards this changing landscape to realize full success into the future.
Thanks, Mark. Laura?
So first of all, I would say that this model of plan, design and build, run, particularly trying to leverage cloud offerings and integrate cloud offerings as part of, I really think, I keep telling people, I wish we hadn't called it build, because we're not in the build business. Right. We definitely are in the integrate business. It is a maturity model, and so you don't just one day flip the switch and have everybody there, and you have to put the right processes in place. And so we are maturing into the model. But as far as staffing, it's been a combination, exactly to Mark's point. And CASE, I would say, is about ahead of us probably about a year in their maturity as to where we actually are. But in the plan area, I did some of both. Some of my outstanding leaders in the organization, I've invested in the past few years quite heavily in leadership development, and I said it's an opportunity for people now to for me to get a return on that investment. And so some of my rising star managers or up-and-coming managers moved into the plan area, and then I did bring someone in from the outside for the enterprise architect role. And now I have posted and am right now hiring an executive director of strategy and planning, and the interest in it and the quality of the applicants has been absolutely amazing. And so I'm really encouraged. It was an indicator to me that this maybe we really are on the right path, because there was so much interest in that role.
Mark, I'm just going to hold off. You'll find a way to integrate your thoughts, but we do have some questions. We first here, then if you don't mind online, and then to the questions at the back.
And this is just a follow-up on people. The idea is that it sounds like how many of the people are actually making this successful transition to this new way of operating? And are you having problems? Are there any people who have to be ejected from the organization? Are they not making that transition? Is this something that's easy to do, or are you finding that you have to kind of drag people kicking and screaming into this new reality?
Laura, do you want to start with this one and then Mark? Briefly, just because we have a lot of questions and 8 minutes left.
It's very hard to do. I've been in this business for a long time. It's the hardest thing I have undertaken. I have lost a number of staff who have chosen to leave because they don't like where we're headed. I have had to ask some staff to leave because they simply could not align. And I say that in a very positive way. The IT market right now is really, really hot. In Southeast Michigan, there are lots of opportunities. And if someone does not want to align to the model, then we encourage them to leave, and we're happy to help them find some place where they can be happy. But it is a very, very difficult transition.
Yeah, I would mirror Laura's sentiments. It's along the continuum. There are those, because we every year assess people's views of our quality of work life. And a lot of the data that we've received, it's across the spectrum. There are those who, curse the day that we embarked upon this journey. And then there are those who think that it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And what we're attempting to do is to ensure that people have opportunities to pursue different things. And one, what I was going to point out is we began really at the top. So the senior leadership that I had, who you know were originally over design, over build, over run, these people have changed. So the person who was over the build organization is now the senior director of design. The person who's overrun is now the interim chief operations officer, and the person who was over design now is in the run organization because we want to expand the people's skills and base so that we can really realize the full potential of those folks. We see the same thing happening down throughout the organization, so we've made it clear that because you're doing a particular thing today, it is not necessarily what we have in store for you in the future, and we've been working on individual development plans for our team members, and some have opted, as Laura pointed out, to continue their individual development elsewhere, which is okay.
Mark, I'm going to leave you there. I'm going to go to Shelley with a question, and folks, just a brief response would be great because we have several questions. Shelley.
Well, we have several questions from the online audience, but one that has been asked a number of times in different ways is, how does your model measure adoption rates? And then how does it allow for continuous improvements over time in the different systems that you're implementing?
Mark, you want to try?
Yeah, I think that is referring to our CADA position, customer advocacy and technology adoption. Well, the director who's over the area has very specific deliverables, and so we measure that. So we've outlined a number of our critical services that she is off to investigate and undertake where the baseline is, and she has some pretty aggressive targets to improve adoption by, I think it's 10 to 12% this year. So all the things that we do, and most of the things we do, we measure, because we are, as I suggested, focused on Lean Six Sigma through our process improvement.
Thanks, Mark. Laura?
The question is right on target. We are not very mature in it yet, but the continuous improvement is one of the fundamental underlying foundational requirements of the model. And so to the earlier question, one of my recent hires is someone who is Six Sigma and Lean expert, and she is over part of the run organization to continue to drive efficiencies and adoption.
Great. Question, I believe. Yep. What?
So this is along the lines of the commodity services, the toll services, and the unit specific. There seems to be a perception in units that their processes are very specific and they require customized technology. But a lot of times, if you tweak the business process, you're able to move that technology to more standardized, cookie-cutter type stuff. How do you engage with your units to try to move them in that direction?
Maybe we'll just let Laura answer that, and then we'll try to get one more question in just before the end. Mark, you'll have the last question if it's relevant to you.
So I'll just answer one of the ways that we did when we launched the end user computing service. We brought the people from the schools and colleges came in and designed and built it. And of course now then they want to use it because they designed and built it. And so we try to change the thinking of central versus unit IT. And instead we talk about Michigan IT as all IT providers providing the end-to-end service.
That's great. Question?
First, thanks. Great session. My question is, you've mentioned Lean Six. Sorry. You've mentioned Lean Six as a couple times as your guiding philosophy. I'm wondering how you came to choose that. Is it really your Bible, or do you blend it with other things? And if you do blend it with other things, what role does ITIL have in your thinking?
Mark, you want to speak to your experience?
Sure. I came to Case Western Reserve University from GE, and the notion of Lean Six Sigma was embedded into our DNA, something that Jack Welch embraced and then pushed down throughout the organization. The benefits that we realized from an IT standpoint were immeasurable. And so when I came to Case and kind of looked at the differences between the private sector and higher education, I saw a wealth of opportunity to formalize our processes under the notion of Lean Six Sigma. we're trying to become really a data-driven organization. And as such, if we measure things and look at driving defects out, we are finding that we can create greater capacity. And we are informed with or informed by what our challenges are, and we can focus on those defects.
Laura, so, we have about a minute left for your thoughts, perhaps on your experience in Lean Six Sigma.
We actually started with IDLE and have been working IDLE processes for the past couple of years, and only now are trying to merge Lean Six Sigma and IDLE in a way that makes sense for us. And so we're pretty new, having just hired the person, into actually using Lean Six Sigma.
Thanks. Well, it's a whitewater raft experience that we're all in. Sometimes it really helps to have guiding insight as to, you know, the beginning, the middle, and the end of the journey. I hope that you'll agree with me that the experience that Laura and Mark shared from Michigan and from Case Western Reserve gives us some idea of the opportunity to take calculated risks to actually imagine a possible landing at the end of the rapids in a way that, while not 100% assured, because then indeed nothing is assured, gives us a sense that with strong leadership, strong vision, and a commitment to build new teams, the opportunities lie in front of us all as a community to help not only lead our IT organizations, but to enable our entire universities to achieve, to accelerate, and to make possible the art of the possible for the mission of our great institutions. Thank you very much. Please join me in thanking our panel.